Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has kept our soul among the living, and he has not let our feet slip. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him a glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Victory for our God. Alleluia.
Praise
with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. The Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. But as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, to every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace be to this house." And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you." Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As Jesus goes about his public ministry, every step he takes, he is confronted with basically the same scene. For everywhere he turns, there, he simply finds just another man who is lost and hurting. Like sheep without a shepherd, Jesus calls them. For as the masses go through life, it seems like they are lost. Their hearts have no rest nor home. They go through life, yet they have nowhere to turn to for answers. They have no guiding star, if you will. They have nowhere to go to for security. This is virtually every step, dear friends. Every step that Jesus takes, he is met with the same scene after another. Someone just going through life without meaning. Sure, they're alive and they are living, and yet they have no purpose. No sense of inherent value. They have no hope or joy in the world. And in a nutshell, they have no answer to life's greatest needs and desires. Jesus finds such people everywhere. Everyday people just like you and me, wandering about in the wilderness of this world. And like Solomon, they instead spend their days running after one fleeting pleasure after another. And yet, time and again, they soon discover, and they are just reminded again, that it is all just vanity of vanities. Nowhere they've turned to has given them any sense of lasting satisfaction. Rather, their pleasures always seem to just crave for more. Their joy has turned out to be as if a vapor in the wind, for they are happy for 1 minute, but then in a moment's time, they soon realize that their situations have changed. And what gave them pleasure 1 minute earlier is now dull and boring. What was then new and exciting quickly becomes old and uninteresting. And that sums up the masses in Jesus' day. Simply that they are as if sheep without a shepherd. Restless, scared, harassed by the world and its anxieties, and struggling with both meaning and purpose. Well, it's amazing, dear friends, where Jesus finds these lost and scattered sheep. For in their search for any sort of lasting hope and help, they have been scattered abroad, even into the very outskirts of the world, searching for answers. Jesus found wandering sheep in some of the most bizarre locations. Clearly, just showing the sheer desperation that lies inside the soul of man for something more. As just a few examples, he finds one man possessed by demons living among tombs. He finds another man living out his days at the edge of some supposed magical pool called Bethesda. And again, he finds Zacchaeus in a sycamore tree, trying to get answers. All these people trying to find solutions to their problems. The sheep without a shepherd have been scattered abroad and wide. Yet we see, dear friends, that it wasn't only in the outskirts either where Jesus found these lost and hurting people. Again, it was literally everywhere he looked. In fact, even while in the cities themselves, he found the lost in the multitudes. People flocked around him, seeing as if he could be something more. Multitudes of 5,000 and 4,000. All of them, dear friends, looking for more. It didn't matter if Jesus was in the heart of a city or in the countrysides or walking along the road, for everywhere he turned, people were obviously hungry for more. That is something which the world seemed to not offer. For no matter how far they traveled or how hard they looked, their needs never were met by the world. And though they always searched, they never found what they desired. That is peace, hope, joy, and purpose. Dear friends, we can compare Jesus' day to our own. But as we do, I don't think that we would really find any difference. For what is in the heart of man today has always been there. The desires that are within us now have been there since the very beginning. Even today, dear friends, it amazes me where people will look for meaning and fulfillment. They'll wander in every which direction looking for some fleeting joy. You know, how fast do so many subscribe to those 124 channels on cable TV? Or many will even subscribe to over 1,000 if they so wish to double down on their search. And all around us, if not in our own midst, then certainly then in our communities, people are turning to other things as well. To drugs and alcohol, to adult entertainment, whether that's online or in person. Just like in Jesus' day, still today, people are wandering about looking for joy and value, like sheep without a shepherd. Others, though, wander about searching for meaning and purpose. They'll turn to their peers for approval. And still others will turn to their work, seeking value and meaning in what they do. They look for self-worth and what they create. Indeed, people have spread abroad everywhere, looking for security in the stock market. They look for hope in the ballot box. They sought confidence in how big their storehouses are. Today, as it has been since the dawn of creation, people are searching for something more and lasting, something that will never falter or fail. Well, dear friends, seeing this desire in the heart of man, and seeing how the masses are longing and truly craving for something more, prone to grasp anything and everything, this is what leads Jesus in our gospel reading to say in verse 2, "The harvest is plentiful." When Jesus uses the harvest metaphor, you can't help but think about multitudes. If you are to drive past a farm at this time of year, abundance is the first thing that crosses your mind. You can't count the stalks, yet alone the ears of corn that must be there. And just so, Jesus seems to say, nor can you count the sons of man who are ripe for harvest. There is an abundance of men, women, and children who are longing for more. They're ready to find the answer to their restless heart. Their souls are restless within them until they find their rest in the Lord. It's such a beautiful phrase that Jesus says here, that the harvest is plentiful. It's both a beautiful and accurate metaphor, as Jesus uses this to talk about the world. For the sons of man are likened to ears of corn upon the earth, abundant in number, valuable in the eyes of the owner, and in need of harvesting from laborers. We've already spoken about the abundant nature of this harvest, dear friends. And likewise, I think we only need to speak a little bit about the value of it. For we notice that Jesus didn't here liken us to blades of grass, but rather we are to him as ears of corn are to a farmer. Surely humanity is precious to the eyes of God, who likens us to an abundant harvest. The farmer knows just how precious this metaphor must be. For the farmer cannot despise those yellow fields when they come, myriads of produce. Every year, rather, we gather them in with songs of praise, and we glean our fields with thanksgiving and joy. Truly, our hearts leap within us because of the blessings God has poured out upon us, for he has brought us that prized abundance and grain. Well, dear friends, such is the Father's heart towards the world. See how he delights in the gathering in of his creation. In fact, he rejoices when the fields are ripened and when men and women are brought to saving faith. His heart is gladdened when his creation turns to him and find his grace. They give him joy beyond anything which the angels could provide. That is when men are sanctified, redeemed, and brought into the Lord's storehouses. So much does the Lord value mankind that he would even give his own son to bleed and die for the forgiveness of sins. He gives his own son so that we might not die eternally, but rather that you and I may have life everlasting. Of all creatures under heaven, the good Father has seemed pleased to call us his most precious and prized possession, saying, "I will rejoice over you with singing." It's such a beautiful phrase, dear friends, that Jesus says here that the harvest is plentiful. And yet at the same time, what a sad twist that Jesus felt obligated to follow it up with. As we know, Jesus never spoke an idle word. In fact, everything he spoke was both deliberate and intentional. Everything he spoke was both truthful and sincere. And so, dear friends, let those next few words bear their weight upon our hearts and minds this morning. Indeed, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, he says, are few. There is an abundant harvest, dear friends, all waiting and desiring to be brought in. But see rather how the corn is instead being neglected in the fields. Instead of being harvested, the corn is rather left sitting all summer, all winter, and all fall. No one is there to take it in, for there is no laborers enough willing to go in and gather them. And so it is that there they sit, the corn in the ground, until the wintry months, when it is all too late, when it all has turned to mush and rots. God's prized possession, the souls of man, though ready to be harvested, is neglected in the fields. Every farmer knows that there is only a certain amount of time that is allotted for them to bring in their grain. There is only a short window given them in which they may bring in that harvest. In fact, they know that so short is their time that they will work from sun up to sun down to complete the task. Day after day, and even as long as the midnight dew doesn't stop them, dear friends, then they will continue even longer, clear into the night. For the farmer of the world knows that there can be no delay in this task. You can't push off the harvest till winter, for if you wait too long, the plants will die, and they will never be brought to safety, nor to the storehouses. Rather, the harvest lost, the multitude perish, and the abundance will die, simply because there was no one to bring them in. Dear friends, it's a sobering thought. How many go to their graves, having never been gathered into the storehouse of God? They go to their graves perishing because they haven't heard of the goodness and riches of our Lord. They haven't heard of the one for whom their souls crave for. They die in the fields, the ripe for harvest and longing to be brought in for safety. Yet there was no one to bring them in, no one to share with them the gospel, no one to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, no one to bring the sickle of the law to them, saying, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." No one to cut them down, to cut the stocks down, saying, "For all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags." And likewise, no one to bind them up again into sheaves with the gospel, saying, "But call upon the name of the Lord and be saved." None to bind them and to bring them in, using the gospel, saying, "Wash and be clean, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. And unto you shall be given joy, security, and the pleasures of eternal life." It's a sobering and convicting thought that even our friends and those belonging to our own households, we would neglect to bring in for fear of rejection. We fail to cut with the law and to bind with the gospel. We fail to gather in our neighbors and our co-workers simply because we see ourselves not as laborers in God's harvest. While the masses go to their graves, sinking down into an eternal abyss, so often we are tempted to see others as laborers and harvesters. But we ourselves, we are just onlookers and bypassers. Well, dearly beloved, here I stand to give God's reply and some practical guidance to this matter. For Jesus begins by telling them, "Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in to the harvest." It's a simple yet vital place to begin. He says, "Go to the Father who hears and answers prayer. Pray to the God who works through prayer. Pray to the God who loves to involve His people in His own redemption work, who uses our prayers and works to fulfill His good and gracious purposes." And then in answer to that very prayer, dear friends, notice how He then sends the very same who just prayed out into the world. You'll notice it in verse 3, literally the next sentence. After telling them to pray for laborers, Jesus sends these same people out as laborers. "Go your way," He says. In other words, as you are going, wherever you go, wherever you find yourself, behold, you are being sent. Go your way, dear friends. As you go to work, as you go home, as you go to the grocery store or park or restaurant, behold, the Lord is sending you as a laborer into this harvest. If you are brought into the family of God by grace, then you have entered into this family business. For all of God's people work in the Father's vineyard, and there is no exception. So many people think that it is the pastor or only select people who are laborers. And yet clearly such is not what Scripture says. For all have their unique calling and vocations. All do their work, being witnesses of Christ wherever they go. By their actions, that is, showing the light of love of Christ. And by their words, showing the life-giving message of the gospel, that we have been saved by grace through faith, And where sin has abounded, grace has abounded all the more. And that all who have called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to close with just one final thought, dear friends. For many Christians today think that they can't be laborers, not called to share the gospel, because apparently they don't have the gift of speaking. Oh, I can't speak like the angels, they say, or I can't speak like a pastor or a preacher. I can't even talk as if a little kid. Yet Scripture has so much to say about these reservations as well. In fact, I wish last week's Old Testament reading was rather appointed for this morning. If you were here, you may have remembered from last week how Elijah was in a cave. And then a mighty wind came, and it came splitting the rocks and whistling through the mountains. But then we are told that the Lord was not in the wind. Next, we are told that there came an earthquake. The mountains shook and the rocks crumbled. Mighty was the power shown. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then a fire, a blaze of light and glory, heat, an unbridled power. But again, we are told the Lord was not in the fire. But lastly, dear friends, a still, small voice. And that, dear friends, was where the Lord was. For that indeed is how the Lord works. He doesn't always, and in fact, he rarely ever, displays himself in the greatest of means. He doesn't often use the high and powerful to make himself known. He doesn't choose to use those who are elegant in speech and rhetoric. The Lord doesn't use the strong, but rather he uses the weak. He uses the lowly, we're told, to shame the wise. We can see how the apostles themselves were by and large not well educated. But the Lord uses them to change the world and to spread abroad this good news of life and salvation. And the Lord uses the masses today to spread this same gospel that we are saved by grace through faith. Everyone here is able to share this good news of Jesus Christ. For indeed, we have all been recipients of this very grace. If you are the Lord's, then you know firsthand what it's like to live in the joy of the Lord. For he has redeemed you and called you out of darkness, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent sufferings and death. And you may rejoice that your name is written in the book of life today, and that there is secured for you in heaven a mansion in the Father's house. You know and can share this good news that your citizenship lies there in the New Jerusalem, where the streets are paved with gold. Your name belongs in that book of life, among the names of those who are forgiven, washed by the blood of the Lamb, and who have been adopted into the family of God as his own dear child. Dearly beloved, I pray for the Lord to send out laborers into his harvest. And I pray that none of us here would see themselves either as incapable or uncalled. For indeed, God's power is made known in weakness, and it is his word that is at work through us, and it is not our own. So may we cling to Christ, trusting in his love, receiving his grace and forgiveness, and may we let that good news of Jesus Christ flow freely to others as well. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Most gracious Father, we thank and praise you for your loving kindness. And we thank you for all that you have done for us as you have assured us a place in heaven with you. Give us the peace and rest that comes with knowing that we are yours. Comfort us with your eternal promises, reminding us always that never will you leave us, never will you forsake us. So give us assurance, rather, and knowing that nothing in all of creation will be able to snatch us out of your hand. For you are mighty, gracious Father, and you have loved us with an everlasting love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of life, you do not rejoice in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would turn from their evil ways and live. We ask that you would be working mightily in our midst and in each and every one of us here. Move your spirit within the heart of every believer to share your good news with those around them. Fill the hearts with rejoicing. Fill their minds with praise, knowing and understanding the wonders of your grace. Lead us to overflow with gratitude, knowing that we are redeemed and forgiven. And use that gratitude, Lord, to overflow in the sharing of this good news to others. Lead us to speak your goodness and all that you have done to our friends, to our family, to our co-workers and neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy Father, you are a God on a mission, for you are a God of life. And you are working through the midst of the church to fulfill your eternal purposes. Lead us to join you on that mission to spread your glory and to spread your message of saving grace into the world. And mighty God, we ask that you would send laborers into the harvest. Put in each of our hearts a desire to share your name and all that you have done. Lead us to proclaim it from the housetops that you reign in love and mercy. We ask that you would open up doors of opportunities for us. Give us opportunities to share the good news with family and friends. And lead us not into a spirit of fear, but rather give us a spirit of boldness to share your word, knowing that it is your word that is the power of salvation for man. And also, Father, we ask that you would raise up laborers into your church who will answer the call as pastor. We ask that you would be with Harrison at Holy Cross as he looks forward to serving you as an undertaker of your flock. And we ask that you would continue to raise up more pastors to feed your sheep of your fold. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And loving Lord, we thank you for your many gifts, and certainly not just for the eternal ones, Father, for rather you pour out grace upon grace. And we thank you also for the temporal blessings that we get to enjoy from your hand. And so this morning, especially, we thank you for the 51st anniversary of Gary and Mary Anderson. As you are a God of love, lead these and all of your servants who are married to love their spouses with commitment, patience, and service. Be with Gary and Mary and bless them with many more years of service and love to you and to one another. And further, Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us as citizens of this nation. We thank you for blessing us with the abundance of life's riches. Thank you for the freedoms which we enjoy. Thank you for the wealth and joys, for the community and friends that you have surrounded us with. Lead us to receive all these things with thanksgiving, and lead us to pray always for our country, our president, and leaders. We ask that you would guide President Biden and all our representatives to make laws that are in accordance with your word. Lead them in wisdom and humility to serve their country according to your holy design. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, we lift before you all who are on our prayer list and everyone who are on our hearts and minds this morning. We pray especially for Cora Lee as she is still bouncing back from her pneumonia. We ask that you would continue to give her strength, continue to use her for your purposes, and keep her strong and bring her back into this community of faith where she can continue to glorify your name. And as you know all things, Lord, use all of our situations for our good and for the good of your church. Work in all situations your sovereign good plan, and give peace which surpasses understanding to all who are hurting and struggling. Lord, in your mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we worship God with our offerings. With you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.